This is 730 Tea with Ree.
So I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally stranded in a flooding canal.
He's like, oh, I hope you don't mind. I invited my friends.
When he pulls up to pick me up, he's in a weird-looking van.
Ree is spilling all the tea. Hello, everybody, and welcome to 730 Tea with Ree. How are you guys all doing this week? I know for me, I feel like I've been like a little bit spiraling. And I think it's just because it's the combination of like summer's coming and like, yes, summer's exciting, but also, oh my God, I've been working out like crazy. I feel like it's not just me who's also like going through that. Like, definitely cannot just be me. And also too, I think I'm getting my monthly present. So, you know, I think I'm going through the hormones, you know. So I've been a little bit spiraling and I've been having like my highs and lows. Like, I'll be super insecure one second and kind of like overly in my head and like overthinking so many things. And then the next minute I'm like super overconfident, super like, oh my God, life is great. Like, I'm doing great. I'm just going to keep manifesting. Like, it's so up and down. But I think, like I said, it's just the combination of like, I'm definitely getting my period and also summer's coming. So it's like anytime there's a seasonal change in general, I get so just like, okay, time to change everything immediately. I got to change it now and I got to change it fast. But at the same time, I've still been trying to like live in the present as well and try to like calm down, lower my pace, and be like very self-aware of how I am, because I just want to make sure that at the end of the day, I am having fun, I'm being young, I'm doing my thing, and I'm trying to do what's best for me, which is really make myself happy and try to be kind to others, because I believe in good karma and goes around, comes around. And someone recently actually kind of taught me that a little bit more. Well, not taught me per se, but I guess reminded me of that whole thing. The other day I went to the thrift store, and I went to this thrift store it's in Medford area. I usually go to this Holbrook one. If you guys are from Long Island, you guys know like these locations I'm talking about. I usually go to Savers, it's called. So I go to the one in Medford now, because I went there, all the way back in October, and I hadn't been there since. So I was like, you know what, let me go check that place out, because the last time I went, I found so many good things and I was obsessed. And I was like, you know what? Like, let me just go back there. Fun fact, it's actually literally like the way to get there. I didn't know this, but it literally passes my boyfriend's job. Like, the literal route to get there literally passes his whole work building. And I just think it's kind of funny because I was so obsessed with that thrift store, and here I am months later now discovering that the way to get there is literally to drive past where he's working, and we could have met that whole time. So I just think that's kind of funny. But anyways, back to the story. So I went to that thrift store like a few days ago, and I was wanting to try things on, but they don't have a fitting room. So, you know, of course, let's just find a mirror and just put the clothes, I said that weird, put the clothes on over your head, over your outfit, whatever. And so, like, that's what I did. So I did that and stood in front of the mirror, and someone else was at the mirror too. It was this girl, and she's like such a cute person. She's like in her early 30s. And we just started like being nice to each other. Like, we were like, oh, like, let's share the mirror, like, let's help each other with outfits and stuff like that. And so it was like super fun. And so we were complimenting each other. We were saying like, oh, you would look great in this. Oh, like, I don't know about that one. Like, we were genuinely helping each other with outfits. And then we just really started talking and getting to know each other. And then we were getting to like deep conversation, like talking about a mix of things. We also both clicked on like the spiritual stuff, which I won't go too in depth, just to kind of respect the boundaries, you know. I don't want to talk about like every single thing that we talked about, just because, like, just in case she doesn't want certain things out there and whatnot. But she was super, super cool, and she had a cool name, and she's from Bali, which I thought was super cool because I've never met anyone from there, and I've always wanted to go to Bali and check it out and explore, because I've heard a lot of really great things about there, and it just looks peaceful, and I know it's a spiritual place because I've done my research, and it just seemed cool. So I was like, damn, that's awesome. So literally her and I made friends. We exchanged Instagrams, and we were DMing, and we were like, you know what, like, let's go to a coffee shop or whatever. So we did, and we had so much fun. I even gave her a sound healing and tarot reading, and she liked it a lot. She said it was accurate, which is like, it feels so validating when someone says that that stuff is accurate, because I'm always worried about like, what if that's like, what if I did it wrong? What if I assume something? What if I didn't get the right message and they think that I'm like lying? Like, I always get anxious, and especially because she's a bit of a reader herself. So a reader reading another reader is naturally intimidating. But for the most part, it went very, very well. Like, actually, no, it went very well the whole time. Why am I saying? I always say for the most part for everything, so don't mind me. But the whole entire time, it was so much fun. I felt like, aside from me having my little spiraling moments, I did a good job of trying to just bring myself back up. Because even, like, getting to hang out with her was great, and then I also got to hang out with John as well. We had a lot of relaxing days. I got to go to his sister's birthday party, which was really nice, because we got to go get food. Like, we did this brunch thing, and we got mimosas, and I love mimosas, so we all got kind of drunk. His sister was so, so sweet. She's like the sweetest, and I don't know how to explain this, but it's almost like her and John kind of have the same laugh. Not the exact same, but very similar, just their mannerisms, and I just thought that was cute. I was like, aw. And after we got back from that brunch, we were both so tired, and I think kind of hungover, but not a bad hangover. Like, my head wasn't hurting. I think I was just real tired, and he was really tired. And him and I are always so in sync with things. Like, if one of us is tired, usually the other is, like, pretty much almost always. So we had the same idea. When we went back to his, because we wanted to cuddle and stuff and just hang out before I went home. So we literally, like, watched a little bit of TV, whatever, cuddled, and then we immediately fell asleep. We napped for 3 hours. Like, literally 3 hours. I woke up and I thought it was the morning. I was so confused, but I had so much fun doing even just that. Like, I love to just, I don't get to nap. I really don't. I don't even know how to just do it. But whenever I'm with him, I feel like I can just fall asleep so easily. And I think it's just because I feel so comfortable and safe with him. So yeah, it was a really fun time. It was just super relaxing, honestly. I also even got to get together with one of my best friends, Tyler. Her and I have an obsession for scary shit. Like, an obsession, like, complete obsession. And so we had, like, a little bit of a scary movie marathon the other day. Like, we tried to do more than one movie, but the first movie we tried was not that, like, interesting. I mean, like, I feel like it had the potential to be interesting, but it was kind of dragging on and we weren't really paying attention. So we ended up watching something else that was like from the 80s. It was Halloween. It was the first Halloween movie, or maybe that was the 70s. I don't know. But basically the one with Jamie Lee Curtis, and it was really good. I didn't know if it was going to be like bad or what, but it's like, even though it was kind of corny, it was still good. Like, it had me on edge. I was like, this is great. This is classic. So that's what we did. And yeah, that's been mostly my week. I feel like I did catch you guys up on a lot. But anyways, we're going to be getting in today's episode in a bit. And today's episode is as you see by the title, it's a spirituality episode, which I haven't been labeling, like, the ones where I talk about spiritual things or spiritual stories and stuff like that, like where I share crazy experiences or other people's creepy stories, I haven't been labeling it as spirituality. So I'm going to start doing that so that it's easier when you guys look through and search for episodes, you can see which one is for which. So yeah, here it is. It's labeled spirituality. And I also want to start doing more stories that aren't just sent in, but I also, sometimes I'll be scrolling through social media, like I'll be scrolling through TikTok, and I see that people will post really crazy stories. And sometimes I'm like, damn, I wish this was sent into the podcast. And the thing is, it's like, it's already posted to the public. So, I mean, I could share some of them here and we could all just talk about them, because there's some really interesting ones that I see that I'm like, I would love to cover that, you know? And it also, I'll be open and honest with you guys, it gets hard to get some stories sent in, especially through audio message, because people get a little shy, so they prefer writing them in. So I just thought it would be cool to share some from TikTok. So I'm going to start doing that, and that starts today. So I'm going to be sharing with you guys a really crazy story that I saw on TikTok. And it started from this girl named, well, she, it's her username. Her username is called Audacity. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of her or not, but like, she was trending for a hot minute because she asked people to stitch her story with their ghost story. And in the stitch, she basically was like, in the beginning of it, she was like, oh, tell me a ghost story that has happened that is absolutely and unbelievably true, but you've never told anyone before. Something kind of like that is what she said. And so a bunch of people stitched her thing, and they were all telling these crazy ghost stories that were absolutely true that they experienced, that they have just not shared with people, or something that people would not believe. So it was just really crazy. So that's what I'm going to be doing in today's episode. But before I get further into that and we dive into that, I'm just going to remind you guys what this podcast is about in case you are new here or you haven't heard this little speech in a while. So this podcast is all about spilling tea and sharing your deepest, darkest secrets. So if you have any tea to spill, DM me on Instagram at 730tea with Rhee, and you spell that 730TEAWITHRIE. Or you can DM me on my main Instagram account at Rhianna Flores, and you spell that RhieAnnaFlores. And if you wish to be anonymous, please let me know. Your story should be up to 500 words or less. And if you want to send an audio voice message in instead of typing out your story, just please keep it up to 5 minutes max. Thank you. So now we're going to get into our story. So I kind of explained to you guys what we're getting into. It's basically a crazy ghost story that someone had posted on TikTok, and the girl who shared it, I think she's got to be Jamaican background or something. I think she had explained that somewhere on her TikTok page because I was creeping on her. Now, usually when it's anybody from the Caribbean, you know that ghost story is going to be good, because I feel like a lot of people, especially even, you know, people like myself, because I am also Caribbean background, but I'm Trinidadian, not Jamaican. But still, like, in every single Caribbean background, there's always some type of intuitive ability or intuitive knowing in that culture. Like, it just runs in the family. I just have noticed that. But some of the abilities are different. Some of their symbolic meanings for things that are spiritual are different. And that's in almost every culture. Everything's different. But this girl, I think, has a Jamaican background. So I think she had kind of like a really good intuitive knowing with certain things. So she kind of talks about that a little bit in the video. Her story actually takes place in a nursing home. So it's a nursing home story. Like, she was taking care of different patients and stuff like that, checking in on them, checking in on people who straight up just could not help themselves, could not walk or do simple things like brushing their teeth or eat. Like, pretty much she was watching after them all the time. I'm sure she will probably explain it 10 times better than me, so we're gonna give that a listen right now.
I've literally watched all the stitches to this video, but this story that I'm about to tell today, even though it happened years ago, still gives me chills, and I feel like it has a lot to do with why I quit my job. So I used to work in long-term care, for those of you that don't know, pretty much a nursing home. I was a certified nursing assistant out of high school. This was my first big girl job, okay? So when I first started, I didn't know a lot about the different types of shifts, but there's pretty much 7 to 3, 3 to 11, 11 to 7. I worked the 7 to 3, which was 7 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. As time went on, I slowly started to transition to 3 to 11 to work around my college courses, but every now and then I would pick up an 11 to 7 shift. It didn't take long before I started working there where people were telling me about this one particular resident that had an issue with people of a certain color coming into his room. I didn't have too much interaction with this resident because, like I said, I only worked 7 to 3, and you didn't have to do a lot for him. Just go in and check on him and make sure he was okay. Bring him his food tray. Every now and then he might ask you for help to go to the bathroom, but that was about it. I had heard that this resident could get kind of nasty sometimes. I also heard that he had dementia, so he was like seeing stuff. And I also remember going in his room a couple times and seeing all of the mirrors in his room covered up. This is gonna come back later. So on my first 11 to 7, we'll call this nurse Patty. Patty pulled me aside and she was like, hey, this is the list of people, pretty much doing a report for when I first, you know, clocked in, starting my shift. She told me who I had, who was total assist, which I had to do everything for, and who I could pretty much, you know, let. So I noticed that this list had this certain patient's number on it, this certain resident's number on it. His room number was on there. But instead of it saying, you know, just limited assistance or whatever, it was like total assist. So I asked, I'm like, I know I have him during the day and I just go in and check on him and make sure he's okay. If he rings the call light, I'll go in. But other than that, that's about it. When did he become a total assist? So she proceeds to tell me that the night before, he got so scared and so frantic and thought something was in his room that he jumped out of his bed and fell on the floor and did something to his hip. So at this point, currently, he's a total assist, meaning I have to go in, I have to check on him, I have to do everything for him. I say, cool, no problem. I start doing my rounds, I start checking on my people, passing out ice water, changing people, as I normally do. Literally, not even 15 minutes into my shift, his call light is on. I go in, I make sure everything's okay. As soon as I get in, I kid you not, this man is literally in the fetal position. I walk up to him and I ask him if everything's okay. Obviously, when I walk up to him, I'm very careful because, like I stated before, he did not like people of my color coming into his room. During the day, he would make a big deal out of this. Like, if he could get a nurse or a nursing assistant of a different color, he definitely would. He did not pay that any mind. He literally jumped straight into, they're in here, they're after me, please help me. I'm looking like, who is they? He's like, you don't see that little boy behind you? No, I can't say that I do, sir. So it took me literally 15 minutes, and by the grace of God, I was able to calm this man down. We're going to call him Mr. Johnson. After I calmed Mr. Johnson down, I left out of the room, and I went and did my rounds like usual. Literally, not even 10 minutes later, he's back on the call light. I said, okay, maybe he's got to go to the bathroom or something. I don't know. So I went in, checked. This time when I went in the room, I noticed that the room was extremely cold. Extremely cold. When I went in there earlier, it was not cold like that. Now, the nursing home, that nursing home in particular was a little colder on a graveyard shift. But when I tell you it was cold to the point where I could see my breath cold. At this point, not only is he in the fetal position, but he is also under the covers and he is also crying. So I walk up to him. I lift the cover up. I look under the cover. Again, he's sitting under there. We make immediate eye contact and he's like, help me, please help me. So I'm trying to calm him down because whatever he's seeing, I'm just not seeing it. So I'm like, Mr. Johnson, I'm gonna need for you to cooperate with me. I'm gonna need for you to tell me what's going on so I can better assist you and we can get through this shift together. At this point, I'm doing what I've been taught to do for somebody that's going through a dementia or Alzheimer's crisis, which is what I was told that he had. He calms down a little bit and he literally just starts talking. And when I tell you this got crazy quick, it got crazy quick. So he's telling me that when he was younger, about in his 20s or 30s, he was married to a young woman. We're going to call her Maggie. Him and Maggie had just bought a farm. It was literally just him and Maggie. And before you knew it, Maggie got pregnant. Back then, it literally wasn't uncommon to have people of color hired as help to help you on the farm, to help you raise kids, whatever the case may be. This was post-slavery, but people was very much still feeling entitled to doing whatever they wanted to do to people of color. So that's the time frame we in. He tells me that months go down the line, whatever. He goes and he wakes up early one morning. He sees that his wife is a little uncomfortable. She tells him, like, maybe the baby's coming or whatever. He doesn't think nothing of it. He goes out, get on his tractor, and he does his farmer work. He has a farmhand named Tommy. Tommy is a black man, okay? Around lunch, he's guessing, is when his wife went into labor while he was still out in the field. His wife called her mother-in-law, which was Mr. Johnson's mom, her sister-in-law, and his brothers came as well. Everybody's making sure that everything's going okay. The baby is finally born at some point. When the baby is born, I guess everybody in the room looked around at each other and realized that this baby was not in no way, shape, or form white. The brothers immediately take the baby and they go outside. His mom sits there with her and they go. They snatch this baby and they take the baby outside. Meanwhile, all this is going on. Him and Tommy are still out in the field. They took this baby out into a body of water. And I will not be saying what they did to this baby, but you can only imagine for the time period. Him and Tommy finally wrap up their work for the day and he heads back to the house. When he gets inside the house, he sees his wife sitting there with his mother. His wife is crying. His mom's just sitting there irritated and pissed off. He asks what's going on, and that's when she gives him the whole rundown that your wife was pretty much sleeping with your field hand and this is the situation that you're in. So he asks, where's the baby? And the mom says, your brother's taking care of it. Don't worry about it. You need to figure out what you're going to do with her. Meanwhile, this is going on. His brothers have went and got Tommy out of the field. The things that they did to Tommy, again, I cannot describe it here on TikTok, but just imagine the torture and everything that he went through. They literally just left him there in that field. They left him there in the middle of the field. This man proceeds to tell me that when he finally figures out what happened and what his brothers did, they literally acted like nothing ever happened. And every night, Tommy and his son will come and visit him like clockwork. At this point, when I tell you the chills are running up my spine, literally every hair on my body is sticking up. I don't know what to say. I'm like, when they say frozen in fear, I was frozen in fear. Because it's like, as soon as he told me that story, I could pick up on what was in the room. Before, I couldn't pick up on what it was, but I could immediately feel something else in the room with us. After he told me the story, I finally got him to calm down and he went to sleep. He slept for literally a couple hours, and at this point, we're at 3:00 in the morning. Like clockwork, he hits that call light again. I go back in. I remember walking into the room and all of the sheets were taken off of the mirrors, which I thought was very strange because he wanted his mirrors covered up for a reason. I went over to Mr. Johnson and I touched him to make sure that he was okay. And this man was ice cold. He had died. As I went to leave the room to go contact a nurse. Oh my God, I'm getting chills. I'm literally passing by this mirror. And as I'm headed out, on my left is the mirror. I turn and look in the mirror. And behind me, to the far wall of Mr. Johnson's room, I see a taller figure. And I see a shorter figure standing beside this taller figure that I would say is probably about the height of a 5-year-old child. I have never seen nothing like that in my life, ever. And I cannot explain the amount of fear that ran through my body, but I got out of that room so quick, I will tell you that. The crazy part is that when the nurse came in, we could not understand how these mirrors got uncovered. Even the one in the bathroom was uncovered. The one in his room was uncovered. Again, this is a man that just hurt his hip yesterday. There's no reason why he should have been out of bed taking these blankets off this mirror, and I know he wouldn't have done it anyway. Also, the fact that she felt like he had been dead for longer than I said he had. But again, I had just talked to Mr. Johnson. I had literally just talked to him. So I don't understand how a dead man talks, but maybe y'all can let me know. And when I tell you, baby, I only lasted 3 more days after that. I didn't sleep for days. I said, I'm not coming back. Y'all ain't gotta work.
Okay, honestly, just listening to it all over again made me like, okay, like I got chills all over again. That story, the first time I ever heard it, I was literally with my sister because we were both watching all the trending videos and stuff, and we were both freaked out. I actually couldn't even sleep that well that night. And the thing is, with the whole mirror covering, I cover my mirrors every night. Like, and I think I've told you guys that before, but I'm just reminding you. I do cover my mirrors every night because I do believe that you know, if you've never heard of this concept, mirrors are kind of like portals to the other side. So I don't fuck with that. I cover my mirrors. I don't play with that. And like, look, you can do a whole bunch of cleansing. You can cleanse your mirrors, this, that, whatever. And I do that. But like, I'd rather my mirrors covered, because I remember when I was a kid and I used to have my mirror facing my bed, I used to have the worst dreams, like really, really bad nightmares. So now I always cover my mirrors. So when I hear stories like this about her seeing some shadow figures behind her in the mirror, girl, no, I don't fuck with that. But anyways, to dive into this story, okay, I don't know what's scarier. The fact that these people back then literally did very bad things to the baby and a person of color, or the ghosty stuff. I think both are just as scary. And I think, oh God, I don't even, there's so many things I could say about what those people did in that time period. Like, there's so many things I could say, but to keep it in short, the biggest takeaway with that is what goes around comes around. And that definitely shows throughout the story, because that's why he was experiencing these hauntings. It honestly makes me even wonder if that man was even remorseful for what he had done, or only feeling remorseful because he kept getting haunted. I wonder if he actually regrets anything that had happened in the past. Now, diving into her personal experience in, like, you know, with the spiritual realm, I do not know what I would do. That would freak me out so bad. I would quit after 3 days too. Actually, honestly, I would quit on the spot. If I ever had to experience something like that, where I could literally physically see something in a mirror behind me, I'm sorry, I'm not staying at that job. I'm not doing it. I can't. I would not do that. And nursing homes, or just like healthcare buildings in general, are like some of the creepiest places to work in, because people die all the time in all of those. I have a couple of friends that work in the healthcare field, and one of my friends, like, she's very intuitive and she sees people die all the time being in that healthcare building. So I can only imagine like the shit that she's seen or dealt with, because it's so easy to feel presences. I used to work in a healthcare building too for a little bit, like when I had first graduated college, and I used to feel presences a lot, especially if you're in the bathroom alone. Like, that shit used to be creepy. I used to fucking hate that, because I was just like, I know that someone's here. I can't do this. Sometimes I would intentionally go to the bathroom if I saw a bunch of other coworkers going to the bathroom, because I didn't want to be there alone. And sometimes some of the bathrooms, like, you know how certain bathrooms have automatic lights or whatever? There were some of the bathrooms in that building, it would be weird, because even though the light would automatically turn on when you walk in, they could also automatically turn off while you're in there if you've been in there for too long. So sometimes when I had to go number two, the light would automatically turn off and it would be pitch black, and I'm scared of the dark. So I used to hate that. So I would try to go as quick as I could, or I would try to go with the coworkers, because I just couldn't. I hate the dark. Anyways, going back into the story, the fact that literally 15 minutes into your shift, like 15 minutes into your shift, he literally had the call light on already and was just curled up in a ball. For anyone to be curled up in a ball, like, they have to be scared out of their absolute mind, especially at that age, because usually a lot of people who are a lot older, like people who are elderly for the most part, especially an elderly man, they're usually so prideful, set in their own ways, very much like to come off with a strong front. So for him to be curled up in a ball tells you enough about what type of presence was there and what their intentions were. And it's very clear that, you know, the spirit didn't have good intentions based off of, you know, what he had told you and expressed to you, that story. And also combined with how you went to go to his room a second time and the room was ice cold, like you seeing your own breath. If any room is super cold like that, like, it's not a good presence. It doesn't have good warm intentions. And they say that usually when you're around ghosts or spirits, like, the way you can tell is with cold air. And I think it's like, if you feel very, very warm air, it's supposed to be angels, like there's a difference, something like that. Like, you can tell if it's a good energy or bad energy based off of the temperature. So it's very clear that there was a very negative type of energy in the room that didn't have good intentions. And I think that definitely had to do with his death that night. And what kind of piques my interest too is why that spirit had chosen to mess with that night over all the other nights kind of confuses me. But also, maybe that spirit wanted to haunt him for that long in his life and have him get dementia and this, that, and kind of, it almost seems like that spirit who was killed all those years ago wanted to get years worth of torture for that person who did them wrong and refuses to leave them alone, is what I'm kind of getting a vibe of. And something that really confirms that is the fact that you went in the third time and it was after he had told you the story and everything, and you went to check on him and he was ice cold and all of the mirror sheets were off, because you mentioned that he was a total assist. So if he was a total assist and all of those sheets are off, he obviously can't get up to take them off, as you said. So that's very clear that something had to have completely taken all of those off. And what also freaks me out almost the most is the fact that the nurse who had checked on him and confirmed his death believed that he was dead way longer. I feel like that's so scary, because it's almost like you were probably, it almost makes me wonder if you were talking to him or if you were talking to a mimic. Now, if you guys are listening and you guys have no idea what a mimic is, so a mimic is kind of like a mimic spirit. So sometimes there's like bad entities or different types of spirits that have enough power and strength in that realm to kind of completely mimic someone that you already know and kind of make you believe that they are there in that moment. Like, they can completely make themselves look like that person that you know and talk just like them. And it might not even be them at all in that moment, and you experience it for a few seconds. Now, if you have never heard of that kind of concept, definitely search it up to better understand it, because, you know, maybe there might be visuals that you can see and understand a little bit better than how I'm explaining it. But basically, a mimic is a spirit trying to impersonate a person, in short. That's kind of what that is. So it kind of makes me wonder if that's what was happening. Because, like I said, for the nurse to think that he was dead longer, but you had just spoken to him 5 minutes ago, it makes me curious and also creeped out. Anyways, good for her for, like, leaving that job and all that. Like, good for her for completely just leaving. Like, I would not have even lasted the other 3 days. Like I said in the beginning, like, I just could not have done something like that if I was seeing freaking shadows behind me. I would, no. I couldn't. I was leaving that same night. I was going home. I don't even know if I would have drove home. I would have had someone pick me up. Because then it's also like that feeling of like driving home and it's nighttime and you're like, well, what if something followed me in my car? What if I look in the rearview mirror and something's looking at me? Because they show shit like that in movie scenes. So it would freak me the fuck out. I hope she like cleansed herself after that and, you know, maybe like meditated. Because you also don't want spirits like that to attach themselves to you, whether they're good or they're bad or have decent intentions or something like that. Like, you really should not have a spirit attach themselves to you, because their emotions in that realm also can affect your emotions. So it's just not good. So it's always good to cleanse your space. And the best way to kind of like set those boundaries when you feel like a spirit has attached itself to you is, like I said, cleansing. And also you can literally verbally say, you are not to follow me, you are not to be around me. Like, you can literally say no, like verbalize it, so that it is known, like, hey, do not attach yourself to me, you're not allowed to, that type of thing. So yeah, anyways, yeah, that is the TikTok story that I wanted to share with you guys. And it was a long story, so that's why I chose just to do one story today, because I also really wanted to just cover something that was spiritual, because I hadn't in a while. But I also wanted to do something different where it was from social media, and it was very fun and I got to choose it out. So I'm going to do more stuff like this. So I really hope that you guys enjoyed today's episode, and I hope you guys weren't too scared of the story. I know when I listen to it, I usually am all over again. But anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. We're going to be closing it out with a sound healing, especially after that type of story. We need to close it out with a sound healing. So let's sit back, lie down, relax, shut your eyes, take a deep breath in from your nose and out from your mouth, and I'm gonna play. Alright, you guys, thank you so much for joining today's episode. It means the absolute most to me. And if you are new here and you made it this far, thank you so much for staying the whole time. I hope you come back. And if you haven't yet, go and follow all of my socials. It's linked in my description. Check me out. Send in more stories. And yeah, I will see you guys all next week. And I love you guys so much. Hope you guys have the bestest week ever. Goodbye.